Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 200, Essential Eggs with Lisa Steele. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I am Roger, your host, and this is the podcast all about home cooking, getting in the kitchen, learning new things, having fun. And today I am really happy to have Lisa Steele from FreshEggsDaily.com on the podcast. And we're going to deep dive into the topic of what else? Eggs. And we're going to be covering some things that I guess you could call them egg essentials or egg basics. Things that home cooks should know about eggs, from picking them out at the store or finding farm fresh eggs, some things you can do when you're cooking them, egg safety, all that kind of stuff. So we're going to get to that in a minute. But before we do, I just want to mention that the show notes for this episode are over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/200. So kitchencounterpodcast.com/200. We'll have links to the things that Lisa and I discuss in this conversation. Also, the other bit of housekeeping before we jump into that, if you'd like to send me an email, send it over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. You can also find me over on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all those places. I'll put all the links to those in the show notes, so you can just head over there and find everything really easy. And also, remember, you can find me and the show over with the Nitty Grits Podcasts out of the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. It's a growing network of podcasts about food and culture. You can find out more about the museum and the other great shows on the network at southernfood.org. All right, today's guest, Lisa Steele, is a fifth-generation chicken keeper and a six-time author, and she actually has a new cookbook coming out in February of 2022 called The Fresh Eggs Daily Cookbook, which, of course, is named after her great website, FreshEggsDaily.com. She has all sorts of resources over there. And if you're interested in keeping chickens, you know, raising your own chickens so you can get the freshest farm-fresh eggs you can, Lisa has a lot of experience in that too, and she has some great articles on her blog about that, and of course about cooking and working with eggs, which is what we're going to be talking about today. So check out FreshEggsDaily.com. You can find all our social media there as well. I'll put all that in the show notes, including a link to the forthcoming book that you can pre-order if you like. But let's jump into this conversation with Lisa and find out what a multi-generational chicken keeper and egg cooker can tell us about working with eggs in the home kitchen. Well, Lisa, thanks so much for being here today. This is great to have you here. Eggs are something that are near and dear to my heart. So having you here as an expert to talk about them, I'm ready to roll.
Oh, great. I'm delighted to be here because it's a topic I love as well. So this should work well.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, you could probably do 500 podcast episodes on eggs because it's really a bottomless pit of a topic in a good way. But I thought maybe what we could do today is handle some of the basic, might be the wrong word, but some of the fundamental questions that come up when home cooks of all different skill levels are thinking about working with eggs. And that's everything from where do I get them and what do I look for to how do I cook them, how do I store them, and all that kind of stuff. How does that sound for you?
No, I think that's great. And I think especially now, because so many more people have gotten into raising chickens, that even those who don't, there are a lot more sources of farm fresh eggs, let's call them, or, you know, you don't just have to go to your grocery store and pick them off the shelf. Or even if you are, there's ways to choose the ones that are going to be the freshest and the best. So I think that's a great place to start.
Now, maybe before we get into that, though, you should just give us like the thumbnail sketch on who you are, because you have a very interesting background. And I don't want to steal your thunder, but you mentioned raising chickens, and I know you're a fifth generation chicken keeper. Tell me a little bit more about that and how you came to be an egg expert. That's the only pun I'm going to do, I promise.
Okay, good. So in a nutshell, I grew up across the street from my grandparents' chicken farm in Massachusetts. That's what they did for a living. They raised chickens and they sold the eggs and the meat, and they had a diner that they used the eggs and the meat at. And then I had chickens as a kid. I was in 4-H, came from a really small country town and thought there was more out there. So I went to college, went to work on Wall Street, and I lived on Long Island for a while. And long story short, I ended up back on a farm raising chickens because it's just in my DNA. I don't think I could have gotten away from it. It's just what I'm meant to do.
That's awesome. You know, I have to say, I don't raise chickens, but when I was a kid, I grew up in the country as well. And we did have a chicken. We called it the chicken house and chicken yard. We raised chickens and for eggs and for, for to eat as well. So when I was a kid, and I loved the farm fresh eggs, but, you know, I haven't really been connected to the whole farm fresh eggs. Like, I don't have a personal source, I should say. But let's start out by talking about sourcing eggs in general, because I think for the typical home cook, I think if you have access to farm fresh eggs or a farm stand or a farmer's market or a weekend market or whatever, and you can get fresh eggs, or if you raise chickens yourself, obviously that's a moot point. But I think a lot of home cooks may not have access to that. Maybe they're stuck with the grocery store. But like you said, regardless of where you're getting your eggs, I guess, what are some of the basic things you need to know? And I'm on autopilot when I buy eggs, man. I just go to the store, I pick up a dozen large eggs, and I assume that's just going to be great for whatever I need it for. But and maybe I should be more careful about picking out my eggs. So tell me, what do I need to know?
So yes, there is a whole array. I have to admit, I haven't bought a store-bought egg in like a gazillion years, but I do walk past them at the grocery store, and there's a whole array, and it can be pretty confusing with all the labels on the carton and things like that. If you can find a local farm that supplies your grocery store, that's great, because there are a lot of local farms or farm co-ops that do that. If not, you know, they're one of the big name brands. But really what you want to look for on the label, you want to skip past things like farm fresh, that means nothing, or even antibiotic free or hormone free, because chickens are not allowed to be fed hormones in this country at all. So whether it says it or not, they don't have hormones in them. They don't generally use antibiotics. They're not going to waste the money, treating a sick chicken. So you don't have to worry about those kind of labels. But what you really want to look for, if organic is important to you, then choose organic eggs. It'll say it right on the carton. Chickens that are raised organically are fed organic feed, and also they're allowed to go outside. But it doesn't really mean that they're treated well. I'm all about happy chickens lay happy eggs. So what you really want to look for is pasture raised. Cage free is another label that sounds great, but it's really not, because it just means there's a bunch of chickens that have been let out of their cages and now they're wandering around this huge warehouse, which really isn't any better for them. But pasture raised means those chickens actually are outside on pasture. They get rotated. They can run in the grass and play in the sun. And, you know, they've really got a good quality life, which I really think does translate to the taste of the eggs, because they're eating bugs and weeds and grass and things like that. So for me, pasture raised would be what I would look for on the carton. And then, organic, like I said, if you're interested in eating organic eggs, if organic food is something that is important to you. Other than that, there's really not a whole lot on that carton. That it's all just pretty much marketing terms. You'll see vegetarian fed, but chickens aren't vegetarians. They're omnivores. I mean, they eat meat and they eat all kinds of things. So to me, it would be the pasture raised. You've narrowed it down. And then once you've found your brand, let's say, you want to check the end of the egg carton. There's a 3-digit code on every egg carton, and that is when the eggs were put in that carton. So the code goes from 001, which is January 1st, to 365, which is December 31st. So you want to look at that code and then pick usually the highest number, because that's going to be the number closest to today's date. So those eggs are going to be the freshest.
Now, that's a great hack. I mean, a lot of times you look at the date on the egg carton, that probably means less than the 3-digit code that's imprinted on
it. Yeah, the sell by or use by, like, that really tells you nothing. You don't know how old those eggs are, but you want to find that code and figure out when those eggs were put in that carton.
Okay, so as far as, so it sounds, I don't want to say all farm-raised eggs, and I'm just using a blanket term, like not grocery store eggs, the opposite of that, are all created equal. But you gave us some good terms like pasture raised and organic and things like that. But within eggs in general, right, there's this entire variety of eggs. And my mom, so my brother, when I was a kid too, also raised eggs after we raised chickens after we didn't anymore. And she would swear like the brown eggs that came from my brother's chickens were the absolute best for baking. And I suspect it's because they were the freshest eggs she could get. I don't think the color of the egg had anything to do with it. Maybe I'm wrong, but tell me what is the difference with like different colors of the eggs, sizes of the eggs? I mean, what's that all about?
Yeah, the color of the egg has nothing to do with the taste or the freshness. It's just the breed of chicken. So I think that your mom was, we grew up like that too, that brown eggs were local eggs
and right.
Local eggs are fresh, you know. But yeah, the freshness really is what's the most important thing with eggs, especially when you're baking, because as an egg ages, the proteins change, it loses moisture. So you're not going to get a nice thick white. You're not going to get a yolk that sticks together. So yeah, fresh should be your number one focus when you're looking to bake with eggs. You know, if you're beating egg whites, anything like that, you're going to want fresh eggs.
Okay. So what are old eggs good for then? Because I have some eggs in my fridge right now that are probably nearing the end of their baking optimized life. With scrambling
throw
eggs.
In a compost pile.
Oh, okay.
No, you don't want to waste them. You don't want to waste them. Older eggs will hard boil better because air has had time to get in through the shell and it pushes the membrane away from the shell. The only problem with that is there's an air sac at the end, at one end of the egg. So you'll get like that dip. So if you're trying to make like really pretty deviled eggs, they're not going to come out perfectly shaped. There's going to be that divot in them. So yeah, personally, old eggs we feed to the chickens or throw in the compost pile. But if you do have them and you can hard boil them, you can make egg salad, you know, something like that. Add a bunch of cheese to them and kind of perk them up a bit that way.
Gotcha. Oh, that's fair. I didn't know that that little indentation you sometimes see in a hard-boiled egg is due to, mm-hmm. to the reflective of the age of the egg. That's pretty cool. So is okay. So then, as far as storing egg, here's another thing I hear about all the time, and that is. Like, do you have to store your eggs in the refrigerator or do you not have to store your eggs in the refrigerator? My first trip that I ever took out of the country, I went to Mexico and I remember I was meeting a friend there because he was down there taking language classes and I can't remember where we went. It wasn't the market. It was like a restaurant or something. And I was shocked to see like stacks of eggs just sitting in the open air, like next to the refrigerator. And I couldn't believe it, right? I had never seen that before. So how can they get away with not storing eggs in the refrigerator? But I don't think I can.
No, you're right. You can't. And actually, the United States is one of the few countries where you do have to refrigerate your eggs. Most of Europe, and I guess Mexico, like you said, most countries, they're collecting eggs from the farms. They're not being washed. So that means they don't need to be refrigerated. Here in the United States, all commercially sold eggs have to be washed, which I think is a real shame because just before an egg is laid, there's an invisible coating that is applied to the outside of the shell and that blocks the air, the pores. You know, there's pores in the eggshell that let air and bacteria in. So that coating keeps the air and bacteria out, which keeps the egg fresher. It keeps the egg from, you know, getting contaminated with salmonella or E. coli, whatever. So other countries, they don't wash them. They preserve that bloom. So the eggs don't need to be refrigerated. In the United States, they have to be washed. So they have to be refrigerated. You know, so we have chickens, we don't refrigerate our eggs. You know, if they're dirty, if I do need to wash them, then I will refrigerate them. And they do last longer in the fridge. They last like 7 times longer if you refrigerate them. So there's nothing wrong with refrigerating unwashed eggs if you're not going to use them within, you know, say 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay. So clarify this for me. Are eggs that are like, if I go to my farmer's market and I buy some local fresh eggs, are those have to be washed as well?
That depends on the state. There's different egg laws, which are state specific. So like we lived in Virginia and I believe that if you sold eggs, you did have to wash them and then you had to keep them below 45 degrees. You know, here in Maine, the egg laws I believe are that you don't have to wash them. So I would actually ask if you're buying at a farmer's market, I would just ask them, you know, if the eggs have been washed or not. And they'll probably tell you or have a little insert inside the carton or something letting you know.
So, but probably you should just store them in the fridge anyway, because they're going to last longer. It's not going to hurt the properties of the egg if you're unsure.
Right.
Interesting.
Exactly.
Okay. So if the eggs have been washed, that is what causes that outer layer to, and whatever the term is,
washes it off.
Yeah, I mean, it washes it off. That's interesting.
It does disintegrate over time because air does need to get in. Like if the egg is hatching into a baby chick, that baby chick is going to eventually need air. So the bloom does disintegrate. I'm not sure exactly how long it takes, but it does over time disintegrate because you do want the air to go in, and you also need the moisture in the air in the egg to evaporate so there's room for the baby chick. It's all, eggs are so fascinating. I mean, I find them because they're a food. They're really two food groups because they're egg, you know, yolks and whites that you use completely differently, or you can use them together, or they can turn into a baby chick.
Okay, I have to ask this question now. I wasn't even thinking about this, but I'm hearing my fourth grade son's voice in my mind right now. And I admittedly, I couldn't explain this either, but what's the difference between an egg that I break open and make an omelet with versus an egg that hatches into a baby chick?
Really, really nothing. I mean, you know, I get email all the time from people who are panicked because they have chickens and, you know, they're going to hatch into baby chicks if they don't collect the eggs right away, whatever. But
right. The
egg has to be fertilized by a rooster. So the, you know, without getting graphic, the rooster, you know, does this thing with the hen. And then for about 2 weeks, every egg she lays after that will have a little bit of rooster DNA in it. So those eggs are fertilized. They're not going to start developing unless they're heated up to like close to 100 degrees. You know, it takes 3 weeks for them to hatch into a chick.
Hence, the chicken has to sit on the egg and keep it warm.
Exactly. Yeah. Or you put them in an incubator. So, yeah. I mean, they're not going to hatch like out on your counter. It takes like 4 days to even see any kind of development. So we have a rooster. We've had a rooster for years. Probably all of our eggs are fertilized, but we eat them. It's not a problem. You know, it's just a tiny little white bullseye on the yolk. That's the only difference between a fertilized and a non-fertilized egg.
So would it be safe to say that most commercially available eggs are probably not?
They're not, because the hens are not.
Right. They're not exposed. Right.
Right.
Good to know. Okay. Okay. Good to say, you know, tangent there, because I was like, oh yeah, I should ask.
Into fourth grade science. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and there are people that claim that they've bought eggs like from Trader Joe's and they've, you know, put them in an incubator and they've hatched into chicks. And I mean, I guess it's possible, you know, if Trader Joe's is buying from a local farm and like all kinds of weird things happen, but no, you're not going to crack and open an egg from your fridge and there's not going to be a baby chick inside.
Okay. On to more pleasant topics. I don't want to turn anybody off to eating eggs. I do too, but I mean, so you mentioned salmonella a second ago. So let's talk about egg safety a little bit too, because we hear a lot about this. And in fact, there's a lot of commercial chicken salmonella press going around right now. I don't know if you've been following that, but and my wife specifically said, make sure you ask her if when I make cookie dough and I'm putting raw eggs in there, if I eat some cookie dough, am I in trouble or not? I always tell her she shouldn't do it, but that's just me being extra safe. But what's your take on egg safety?
Okay. So again, it depends if you have your own chickens or not. We do, I mean, I make mayonnaise, I make tiramisu, I lick batter, you know, beaters when I make batter. We did as a kid, we had our chickens, you know. If it's your own chickens, I wouldn't worry about it so much. I believe that all store-bought eggs are pasteurized. I think I've read that, but then it doesn't make sense because there are salmonella outbreaks. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe they're all not. But if the eggs are pasteurized, that should have killed the salmonella bacteria. And then, of course, if you cook your eggs, you know, so the yolk is solid, it's not runny, and the white is cooked, then you don't have to worry about the salmonella. It's definitely real. You know, there are outbreaks all the time. You can also get salmonella from onions and bagged spinach and, you know, all kinds of other things. I think it just comes down to use common sense, wash your hands, wash your eggs just before you use them. You know, the fresher the egg, the less chance there's going to be salmonella in it, because bacteria takes time to develop. So that's another reason why even at the grocery store, you want to pick out your freshest eggs. I don't worry about it, but maybe I should.
Yeah, as far as I know, we've never had an issue, but you know, it's you always hear it, right? And the people that are like, oh, you can't eat undercooked eggs, or, you know.
Right. Don't kiss your chickens.
Right.
Like, our chickens don't come in the house. You know, you don't want them on the kitchen counter. Like, just a little common sense. It's just food safety, you know?
Right. Exactly. Okay. I have a question for you. Are you, this is a total preference question. Are you a soft boiled or a hard boiled egg person?
Oh, definitely soft. I'm like in the 6 to 7 minute jammy egg camp.
Okay. good. I was just curious. So let's talk about some actual recipes. And I want to bring this up too, because you've also got a cookbook coming out in February, I believe, called The Fresh Eggs Daily Cookbook. It's on your shelf behind you there, I see. So you're obviously, not only are you an expert in raising chickens and producing eggs, but you're certainly extremely knowledgeable in cooking them and putting them to use in the kitchen, whether it's baking or otherwise. So what are some of your favorite things to do with eggs? And I know, you know, for me, some of the obvious answers are, for me, the less I do with eggs, the better. You know, fry an egg, eat it, boil an egg, eat it. Although I do love meringues and things like that. But what are some of your favorite things to do with eggs in the kitchen?
Eggs Benedict is probably my favorite go-to breakfast of all time. It does take a little bit of effort, but absolutely love hollandaise sauce. And once you master it, it's not too difficult. But so here's an easy, super easy go-to. Instead of butter or oil in the pan, just put a little tiny bit of heavy cream in the bottom of the pan and crack your eggs into it and fry them in heavy cream. The cream kind of caramelizes and it separates as the egg cooks, and you get this egg white that is so, so smooth and creamy. It's really delicious.
What? I've never heard of this. So you use heavy cream in your skillet instead of oil or butter. Bottom. Really?
Right, no oil, no butter, just heavy cream. And you put it on, wait till some bubbles start to kind of form, crack your eggs in them, just like you're frying them. Sometimes, I'll tip the pan and baste the yolks with the cream as well. But yeah, as they cook, the cream starts to separate. And the egg whites are just so, so silky smooth, really delicious.
Okay. I'm totally trying this as soon as we're done, because I've never heard of that. It sounds very, what else you got? Do you have any other like totally unknown nuggets? Cause that is fascinating. I can't wait.
I like that one because it's super easy, and it's great for that last tablespoon of cream you've got in the container that you don't know what to do with it, whatever. I think especially when researching the cookbook, there were a lot of things that I wasn't really making good use of. Like I never thought of making my own Caesar salad dressing. I love Caesar salad, and it's so easy to make your own Caesar salad dressing, something like that. Making your own marshmallows or sprinkles, sort of labor intensive. But also super fun. I mean, I think there are a lot of uses for egg whites that, a lot of times you'll separate the egg and you use the yolks and you don't have anything to do with the whites. And I was even just tossing them. And then I started thinking, I need to find some things to do with these egg whites because it's a shame not to use them.
And egg whites, if you whip them, even if you don't turn them into a meringue, you can add those things into like cakes and all sorts of stuff, right? For some extra body and fluffiness.
Soufflés. Yeah. You can even spoon some on top of like a whiskey sour. Really nice.
Yeah. I'm not a whiskey sour type of a guy. That's a little, that's the texture for me. I can't quite get to, but, so tell me a little bit more about the cookbook. You have some different sections in there, and, is this intended to be sort of like the soup to nuts of egg cookery?
It kind of is. I started thinking about it that for 12 years, I've been teaching people how to raise chickens. And these people have a lot of eggs. So it's time that I, teach them what you can do with all the eggs. And then I was also writing it during COVID. And I know that there were shortages of things. And, meat is getting super expensive. And eggs are just such a really great protein. They fit into whether you're a vegetarian or you're doing keto or Whole30 or whatever. So I wanted to kind of make people stop thinking about eggs just for breakfast, like scrambled or fried or whatever. And you can have them for lunch. You can have them for dinner. They're just so versatile. And I also wanted it to be sort of, because I own a lot of cookbooks, a lot of egg cookbooks, and there's not one book that has a creme brulee, a lemon meringue pie, a Boston cream pie, pound cake, all kind of like the quintessential egg desserts are not all in one book, which I kind of found surprising. So there are a lot of sort of basic recipes, but I also found as I've been, sort of talking to people about the book, there's a lot of people that have never made a pound cake or never made a lemon meringue pie. So it's not, even though they're classic recipes, I think they're things that a lot of people haven't made before.
Yeah, meringue is fascinating because it's one of my favorite things. I just like to make little meringue drops, just to eat. And it seems so ridiculously complicated. And I suppose it could be. On the grand scale, like putting together a cookie dough is far easier, I think, than maybe putting together a meringue. The steps are simple.
Right.
Less finicky, maybe, is the way to put it. But I think it's, I think it's cool that you've got sort of the egg-centric approach to things. I mean, obviously it makes sense, but you're right. Eggs are so integral to so many desserts. What kind of, you mentioned Eggs Benedict, what kind of savory egg wisdom can you drop? What's your go-to savory?
You know, probably a frittata, just because it's like a quiche without a crust.
Super easy.
You know, so if you have a bunch of eggs, you just look in the fridge, you grab some vegetables, some meat, some cheese. I mean, you can put really anything in it and super easy, super quick. You know, I just sort of started it on the stovetop and then throw it in the broiler to finish it off. And I mean, seriously, it's done in like 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So that's a great way to just clean out things in your fridge. And you can have that for dinner with a salad or some, you know, fresh bread, or you can have it for breakfast. We do breakfast for dinner a lot, you know, either steak and eggs or bacon, egg and toast for dinner or whatever. There are other ways to incorporate eggs into other meals of the day, you know, whether it's a tart or, I mean, I do love making quiches and tarts and things like that too.
Now, one thing occurred to me, we've been talking about chicken eggs, obviously completely straight here, but I know probably for the average home cook, I mean, that's 99% of the time what they're going to be dealing with, but I know you can, and I think you might even raise ducks for eggs mm-hmm. as well, if I'm remembering correctly.
We do.
I mean, what other eggs, you know, when a cook's ready to maybe branch out and do something a little more interesting than cooking with chicken eggs, I mean, what's the next step? I mean, you always see quail eggs on the fancy cooking shows. Duck eggs are an option. What are your thoughts?
Duck eggs are really nice for baking because they have a much higher fat content than chicken eggs do, lower water content. So things are going to be fluffier and they're going to rise up higher. Duck eggs are larger. So 2 duck eggs equals 3 chicken eggs. If you're going to be technical about it, I usually use them 1-for-1 and have never had a problem. I do agree with quail eggs. I really, really want to raise quail just because the eggs are so small and cute. Like I want to make little miniature things with the quail eggs, you know, like bite-sized deviled eggs and all that. I don't know the equivalency of quail eggs to chicken eggs.
Oh my goodness. Bite-sized deviled eggs, yeah. Quail eggs. That would be awesome.
I was actually thinking like bite-sized Eggs Benedict, like making little mini ones with a little tiny poached quail egg.
Just like on a spoon, you just pick the spoon up and eat it. That's how small are quail eggs? They're pretty tiny. I don't think I've ever really worked with any myself.
Yeah, they're like the size of a marble. I mean, I actually have a little container of them. I'm probably thinking maybe 3 quail eggs equals a chicken egg, 2 to 3, I guess, depending on the type of quail. We also raise geese.
So goose eggs, yeah.
Yeah, this is actually a goose egg.
Oh, okay.
Really? A goose egg equals about 3 chicken eggs.
Yeah, 3 chicken eggs? Yeah, that you're holding it in your hand and it's huge.
Huge,
is that a real goose egg or like a replica? Mm-hmm.
No, it's a real.
You just have a goose egg sitting on your shelf?
I do.
You are into eggs. There's no denying that.
Yeah. Well, this was our first geese. And, you know, so I just like blow out the eggs and, you know, keep them. But I haven't really done anything with the goose eggs. But really, if you're going to be baking with any other type of eggs, you can just whisk them up and then you can either weigh them and measure out like 2 or 2.25 ounces to equal 1 chicken egg, or you can measure out 3 tablespoons just to get the equivalency, you know, because all recipes are written for chicken eggs, but you could use turkey eggs. You could use guinea eggs. I suppose you could use like emu or ostrich eggs if you had them. I mean, pretty much an egg is an egg.
Wow. Okay. Probably most cooks aren't going to find, duck eggs would probably even be a stretch to find, and you'd have to go to probably a specialty market or a natural food
market. A lot of the Asian markets.
Oh yeah.
Will carry them.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Okay. So we've talked a lot about eggs. Is there anything about eggs that we haven't touched on, or is there something about eggs you just wished people didn't misunderstand or wish they knew more about? Or, I mean, you're obviously quite passionate about eggs. So
I found them so fascinating. There's so much science behind them and just the fact that they do turn into baby chicks. I think something, and I think it was a fad that sort of has gone by, but that whole egg white omelet fad, which made no sense to me because basically the egg white is about, it's just protein and water. And all of the good stuff is in the yolk, all of the vitamins, all of the nutrients. An egg has every essential vitamin and nutrient that you need, except for vitamin C, which I find fascinating.
Which you just take care of with a little
baby chick.
Yeah, you just put a little squeeze of lemon on it and you're good to go.
Right, exactly. Yeah, but just by eating the egg white, you're missing out on most of the taste. all of the nutrients, and the yolk does have all of the fat and cholesterol.
I was going to say, well, I guess the point is avoiding the fat or something like that. But a life without right. fat and cholesterol is probably a life not worth living, in my opinion. But
no, and they keep changing the guidelines, you know, whether right. food cholesterol or dietary cholesterol really is what causes or doesn't, or how many eggs you should eat, or I don't worry about it.
Well, and it's cliche, but everything in moderation, right? I mean, mm-hmm. if you're eating a dozen eggs a day, that might be a problem. But if you're eating a few, you know, a week, it's who cares, right?
I mean, right. And if, on the days you're not eating an egg, if you're eating a donut, you probably should just go back to eating the egg. So,
yeah, that's right. Know. That's exactly right. Quick tangent. I'm thinking of like Thanksgiving is coming, right? And I just want to tell people, it's like, you know, it's like one day a year. Use full fat everything. I mean, if you want a meal that people are going to love and remember, just use full fat everything and don't
that
worry about it.
That is my pet peeve. You know what I mean? Every Thanksgiving, the recipes for this or that, or, you know, how do you save calories, whatever. You're like, it's one day a year.
It's one day
just
a year.
Go all out.
If you're good with buying like a bag of potato chips once in a while, you're good to use full fat everything at Thanksgiving. So, or whatever holiday.
Exactly. Every holiday.
Right. Right. Because people, it's like, why isn't my, why isn't my macaroni and cheese as creamy and gooey as I get at the restaurant? Because you're using low fat stuff. You're not using like heavy cream. I mean, that's why, exactly. right? I mean, you're
and
just using the
and,
right, yeah. right. And you're never going to get the same result.
And I think, I mean, not that we're really talking about this, but I think that by using whole milk and whole cream and real eggs and real butter, it's satisfying. Whereas if you try to cut and make it, you know, so it's like carb free or low calorie, whatever, you're never going to be satisfied with it. So you're just going to look for something else. Whereas you just go whole hog and you're good.
Awesome. Well, Lisa, this has been fun. I appreciate it. I'm not joking. When we're done, I'm going to go straight to my kitchen. I'm going to pour, I think I have some heavy cream in the fridge, and I'm going to fry an egg in heavy cream, and I'm going to report back. Because that just blows my mind. It makes so much sense.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear how you like it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Lisa, thanks so much. Have a great afternoon out in Maine, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, you too.
Well, everybody, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Lisa Steele of Fresh Eggs Daily, fresheggsdaily.com. She is very passionate about her chickens and her eggs, as you can probably tell from the conversation. And I have to tell you, if you're at all interested in chickens and or eggs, you definitely should go to her website, check out her blog. She has some really great, both fundamental and more advanced articles on using eggs and baking and cooking with eggs, as well as raising and keeping your own chickens. So if you're getting into it, or you're new, or you're just looking for a little inspiration on either of those fronts, definitely check out her stuff. And remember, her new cookbook comes out in February 2022. Again, links in the show notes for all of this at kitchencounterpodcast.com/200. So Lisa, thanks so much for stopping by the show and dropping some of your expertise. I can't help it. I can't help myself. I only kept it to one egg pun in the entire episode, so you could give me two, okay? Don't forget, the Kitchen Counter Podcast is available wherever you find podcasts everywhere, and it's part of the Nitty Grits Podcast, which is a network of podcasts about food and culture out of the Southern Food and Beverage Museum in New Orleans, Louisiana. Check out more at southernfood.org. Well, we're getting close to the end of 2021. I'm working on a holiday special episode that I'm hoping to have out roughly the week before Christmas, so keep your eyes peeled for that. And I'm sure I will, at some point near the end of the year, have some sort of a year-end reflection or a looking forward to 2022 episode as well. But in the meantime, I hope you're taking some time for yourselves during these holiday seasons. I know it can be very stressful for so many reasons beyond just the fact that we're trying to come out of a pandemic, hopefully. So take time for yourselves, get in the kitchen. I hope you can cook for fun as well as for nourishment. If you're out on the social medias, stop by and say hi on Twitter at TKC Podcast. You can join our private Facebook group at kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. And I am on Instagram as well at Kitchen Counter Podcast. Again, links to everything like that in the show notes. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for one more episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast, number 200, actually, to be exact, kind of a milestone. So maybe next episode, I'll talk about that a little bit. But until then, I'm Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Happy cooking.